Meeting has now commenced. It is May 13th. The time is 6:02 p.m. This meeting is being held through a hybrid format. As we continue our efforts in meeting remotely and in person, we ask all commissioners and guests who are joining us virtually to mute yourselves until called upon to speak to avoid feedback, noise, and background. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number to unmute yourselves, dial *6 on your phone. Also, prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. We ask that you only use the chat function to request to speak or to announce that you're leaving the meeting so that we can track quorum. Also, in order to comply with state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio, not the chat function. We'll go ahead and do roll call. Terry Byron.
Present.
John Curtis.
Present.
Thank you. Bruce Hayes.
Present.
Brenda Huey.
Present.
Thank you. Rocio Carey.
Cheers.
Lorraine Obregón.
Present.
Marlon Ruiz.
Present.
Tom Tubbs.
Present.
Marshall Wuheeder.
Present.
And Alan Young.
Present.
Do you have a quorum with that?
Okay. At this time, we'll proceed with the invocation. Bruce, would you like to lead us in that?
Father, we come humbly before you. We ask you that you provide us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that we can run this meeting in a manner fitting your presence. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Start on 3A.
Okay. So introduction of guests, Council Member Nikki Lee, see she's here virtually.
Thanks.
Council Member Schubert is here. Welcome. Glad to see both of you participating in the meeting. Dr. Leslie Lockridge, I believe she's there. Yes. Darren Gregg was one I had asked to come in and speak. He is actually, I believe he's the chief of staff at Davis Monta.
Yes.
And I had recent conversation with him about the potential for a joint VA and Davis Monta Air Force Base hospital. So we were hoping that he could come here tonight and inform us on that project. Laura Butler. She is, okay. Matt is here. Margo Susco is not here. Sarah Horvath, not here. Arlith Rios, not here. Is there any other people online that guests or otherwise need to acknowledge?
We can start with Nikki Lee.
Oh,
okay, but.
A representative from Ward 5 is present.
She's trying to get home. She's just having a hard time.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, there are people online, but they don't.
Right. Kimberly Bowie from Grand Canyon University.
We could go ahead and start with 3A.
3A?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
For her to speak.
Okay, yeah, so Council Member Lee, if you'd like to speak.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for the invitation. It's good to be back with you, and I see several familiar faces from the last time I was able to come and connect with the group, but I also see some new faces, I believe. So, or I'm just getting older, and I can't remember all the faces that I see, which is very likely the case as well. So, first and foremost, I just want to thank each of you for your service in this capacity. I know everybody is incredibly busy with life and taking the time to bring your valuable ideas and contributions to this space is very, very welcome. And I know that I'm incredibly grateful for each of you and the service that you gave to our country and you continue to do with our city. So thank you all so much for that. I told the team I didn't want to take up a bunch of your time because I know you have a whole agenda, but can definitely cover some of the things that I have been focused on and championing, not just from 6 years ago, going on 7 when I stepped into office, but continuing to this day. So I'll give you a little update. Some of these things may be repetitive, and obviously Matt is sitting there, who is a complete rock star, who has brought so many of these ideas to life every single day. So, Matt, really grateful for your work. But just to kind of reintroduce myself, I am an Air Force veteran myself. I came here to Tucson 23 years ago now by way of Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. Met my husband here, who was also an Air Force veteran. We met at work, of course. He couldn't fix his computer, so I got called in, and I was like, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't know how to fix his computer. And I had to go on site, met him, we fell in love, and we've been together ever since, and we have 4 kids. So I guess that worked out in my favor. But regardless, it was the military and DM that brought me here to Tucson, and I fell in love with this community and wanted to stay and start a family and raise my family here. when I got out of the Air Force, I had a really, really hard time finding a job in Tucson. It took me 13 years from the time I separated from the Air Force till the time I actually got a job with a Tucson-based employer. Even being in IT, even having a top secret clearance, I still could not crack that nut and get a job within the city. I had to commute down to Fort Huachuca. I had to go to Afghanistan to work. I had to go to Iraq to work. It was really hard for me. So I took that pain into this role as a council member and really wanted to connect deeply with the veterans in our own organization and also see how we could support transitioning service members coming out of DM, coming out of Fort Huachuca, coming out of the Yuma Provisioning Grounds. How can we, through our organization, support veterans, because it can be a really, really difficult transition, as well as when you're in roles. We all know that we have been through different experiences in our life that other people can't really understand. So having a workspace, having a culture within your working environment that is supportive of your lived experience is really, really important to me. So I started off on the council looking internally at our own organization, looking at opportunities to find all of our veterans and pull them together. So I helped create the first employee resource group that we have in the city. We have a few more now, which is really awesome. But we started as veterans, taking the hill, leading the way, figuring out how to put structure within all of the bureaucracy to create an employee resource group. Matt does an amazing job of herding all of us cats. And we also have an elected board of people in our employee resource group to make sure that we're staying connected with our veterans. We're bringing amazing speakers to our organization and supporting our team in whatever way possible. So that has been incredibly a rewarding effort that continues to evolve as we continue and as Matt continues to grow and communicate and move that forward. On the employment piece, I think you've probably heard about the SkillBridge program many times. Probably, I know I spoke about it last time I was here as well. That is something I was really passionate about getting our organization aligned with, that allows a transitioning service member to come work inside of an employer like the city of Tucson. And I think Pima County has now followed our lead, and they're now an employer, a SkillBridge employer, for up to 180 days. But I know that's actively changing based on branch and whatnot. So we're adapting to that. But it allows them to come work within our organization for a last stretch before they transition out of the military in general. And one of the challenges that we've had, that I continue to work on with our own HR department, is just a bridge to SkillBridge, a bridge after SkillBridge. So we bring folks into our organization. We get tremendous value by working with them. They get some work experience. And if we have a position available and they want to stay in our organization, it can be a little wonky to get them bridged over with civil service and other things that have become some impediments to that. So we don't want to risk losing some really great talent or making somebody have to go find another job and have that gap in their employment and their paychecks while they try to find something else, because we haven't figured that out. So that's an active, ongoing pressure that I'm applying for us to try to figure out so that we can have a seamless program to the extent possible. There's not a ton as an organization that we can do. You know, when we think about taking care of our veterans, a lot of that happens at the federal level. But I've always been really focused on what we can do. So obviously internal to our organization, and then identifying the programs and services that we offer through the city that are facing the public where we can kind of boost support for veterans. So one of those examples is our small business navigators. So we have a program to support entrepreneurs in our community. And I wanted to specifically make sure we were targeting veterans and making sure that we are reaching out and providing structure for veterans who may be wanting to go down the entrepreneurial path. So that work is continuing to evolve. All that to say, I know Matt and I are always looking for ideas, more ways that we can engage with veterans in our own organization and the community at large, just to do everything possible to support our veterans at those different challenges and opportunities that they have in life. So that is just my little short spiel today. I don't know if you already know, but I'm really excited. I think, Matt, you may know that Soldier's Best Friend is opening a branch here in Tucson. Did you guys hear about that?
I did not.
Okay. Well, now we know. I'm so excited. Soldier's Best Friend is an amazing organization in the state of Arizona. I think they're based out of Phoenix, and they provide service animals to veterans, the training for service animals to veterans in need. They train the dogs free of charge. So that, if you've ever looked into that, and I had at one point, that's how I got connected with them. It's like thousands of dollars to train a service dog. And they do that free of charge for veterans. And so they are opening up a location in our community. They just emailed this morning that their grand opening and ribbon cutting is on June 1st. At their open house is 3 to 6, and the ribbon cutting is at 4:30, and they're going to be at 3102 East Fort Lowell Road. So another amazing organization focused on veterans is coming to our community. I am really excited to participate in that event, and I'm just trying to do everything I can to spread the word that they're coming so that we can all be aware and refer people in our lives to that organization. So I don't know if anyone has any questions for me, but I know you have a full agenda. So that's just a little update from me.
Thank you. Oh, we've got a question online. There. Looks like Bruce has a hand raised, a couple of hands raised. Bruce?
Yes, ma'am. You were talking about transitional service members. I have just recently become what they call a peer support mentor with Onward Ops, which is we help people transition from active duty into civilian life and follow them for a year after their ETS date. It's based on a suicide prevention program.
Wow. I definitely need to learn more about your work because that sounds incredibly important, following them through that period where they may feel a loss of purpose, lots of challenges financially and otherwise. So I actually got chills when you said that. So I would really like to learn more about what you do and how we can support you, Bruce.
Thank you.
Lorraine?
Yes, thank you. Lorraine Obregon, Gold Star Mother VAC Junior Vice Chair. Thank you, Ms. Lee, for your service and everything that you're doing. I would like to, off topic, since our chair isn't there, if you don't mind, I can take over this meeting and do my due diligence for the night. If I go astray or it's not allowed, just let me know.
She's actually on.
Oh, is she? Oh, good. Good. Thank you, Rocio. Thank you, Chair.
Yep. Any other questions? Okay. I can turn the meeting over to Rosie at this point. So it would be item 3B, which is the next item.
Thank you guys so much. Been having some issues here, so I'm actually out of state right now and stuff, and I'll have an update and stuff for you guys later on why I'm out. I wanted to say that Soldier's Best Friend, thank you so much, Nikki, for helping promote that. They do an amazing job. Henry, that was part of our group, actually got his service animal, I believe, through that one, that organization. And they're actually doing a fundraising dinner. Is it June 13th? It's like a Friday or Saturday in June. I have the flyer, and it's somewhere. So I apologize. I will send out that information as soon as I can. So thank you so much, Nikki, for that plug for that group, too. So do we have any other questions for Nikki before we move on? Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Nikki, for being here. So now on to item 3B, Miranda Schubert, our other council member.
Hello. Hi. So I'm Miranda Schubert. I have been the council member representing Ward 6 on City Council since December 1st. So I've been in office for 5.5 months. Lisa Florin is an advisor in our office, and we're just really excited to be here to connect with veterans. I've been in Tucson for 15 years, and when I first moved here, my first job was at Pima Community College as an advisor, and veterans were a part of how I got to know the Tucson community, because we had a lot of students who were dealing with trying to get their benefits, trying to get into programs, and it just really impressed upon me the complexity of the situations that different people find themselves in, depending on where they are, like generationally even, as well as the struggles. Like, I was shocked to learn that homelessness is so prevalent amongst veterans. That just seems unacceptable to me. And I want to echo Councilmember Lee's gratitude that you're all serving on this committee and, you know, spending your time, because I'm sure you're all busy, but this feels really important. And so I'm glad we're here. And we want to make sure that we're forging good connections with different groups out in the community that are supporting veterans, and that we're a part of the solutions that Councilmember Lee has been championing. So I'm really excited to perhaps connect further with the Ward 4 office about some of the great work that Nikki's been doing. Because just, you know, our vision of, you know, what we want to do in the Ward 6 office is not only be as open and accessible and approachable as possible, and to kind of have our finger on the pulse of what's going on in our communities that we're trying to serve, but also to make Tucson a place where people can really thrive and have a place to belong, feel connected to community, and feel taken care of. We work a lot on issues around quality of life and infrastructure investment. I think housing is a huge issue. Transportation alternatives for people who can't drive because of different needs. So we're just sort of getting started. I mean, we're not even 6 months in. So I'm here to listen and to learn from you all, and looking forward to getting to know you all more and to learn how we can be really effective at pushing forward policy that's going to help veterans. So, thank you so much.
Hey, folks. Tom Tonks, Commandant Nighthawk 72. I got to jump off. I kind of have an emergency phone call going on. I apologize. And if there's anything that comes up that's of huge relevance, please let Terry know. She's my adjutant. I really got to get on this phone call. I apologize.
Thank you, Tom. Amari Francisco, will we still have a quorum?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Somebody had their hand raised, I thought. Okay. All right. What questions, comments do we have here for our council member? Wonderful. Thank you guys for both coming out. We extend this invitation every month. I mean, we're about to go dark for the summer and everything, but please, anytime you have updates, feel free to reach out, you know, to our clerks and everything and get yourself on there. You have an open invitation to our meeting. So thank you guys so much for all the updates. We're very excited about this. Awesome. Okay. So now on to item C. Dr. Leslie Lockridge.
Hey there. Sorry about that. It took me a second to get off of mute. Hi, everyone. Leslie Lockridge. I'm the Medical Center Director at the Southern Arizona VA Healthcare System. I was able to make last month's meeting in person. I apologize for tonight. I just wasn't able to get over there, but happy to be here. So I will start off by saying that we are a very busy site, as you all know. A lot of visitors and people love to come and see all the wonderful things we're doing. So last week, we were privileged to host the Secretary of VA. So we had him out on Monday at our Northwest Clinic, came out there, was able to tour, and then really just sit down with some of the executive leadership team and others and talk a little bit about what was going on. Really, I think he's working very hard to get out across the United States and really see sites of care for VHA while he also visits cemeteries and benefits offices and other things which he has under his purview. So we were thrilled to have that visit. It's the second time we've actually had the Secretary Collins out here in Tucson, but we always show him a new place every time he goes, and it went very, very well. So I will share a few things here. So we have some upcoming events that I'll make sure I highlight here. So we have what's called Smile Stones coming up to actually on Friday, and it is where we do rock painting, actually, and it's really just a way to do some nice socializing. We provide the materials and things like that. They are very quick to tell me no experience is necessary, but that is from 11 to 1 in our auditorium, so I'll just mention that one. And then on May 18th, we are hosting a Veterans Health Fair, and so that will be around our Rose Garden at the Maine Medical Center. So that's, again, from 10 to 1, and we just invite anyone to come out and just learn about more of the different programs and things like that that we have. Our annual VA2K, which is our kind of walking event that we host every year, is on Wednesday, May the 20th. We're going to do that two times during the day, so 7:30 a.m. from Building 1, which is that main building on our main campus, and we're going to walk then. I'm not sure what the route is. I'm still new in town, but I guess you just have to have a little blind faith if you want to come out there, and we will get you back. And then I am told at noon they will do that, and we just basically circle the Rose Garden many times. That effort is to keep people more in the shade, because it is middle of the day. So I'm assuming they have it mapped out where they know the exact number of laps to do. Then as well on May the 28th is our mental health open house. And so we invite you to come out. That's at our main facility as well from 10 to noon. But I think that's a really good one because there are so many things that we do and connections we have that are often the things that are not intuitive, and so it's just a good way for us to share those. Few notices that we just want to make sure and highlight every time we get a larger audience, and you guys can help us with this, we want to tell people if they're receiving any types of text messages or emails or letters talking about an appointment for the VA that people might have and asking them to pay a copay, please advise them not to do that. That is not how we do business. But it does seem to be going on right now a little bit. And so we're just trying to get word out there. The best thing to do if anybody has a question is to call us, and we will let them know if that is something legitimate or not. But we certainly don't want to see people spend their money that way, because we really can't help them in getting that back. And that's pretty unfortunate. The other thing is, please just encourage anybody that you come in contact with to continue utilizing secure messaging. It's our best way to do real-time communication with people and get them in touch with the folks that they need. But so we just continue to make sure and ask folks if they're struggling with it. We will help them. If they'll just get in touch with us, we'll get help. There's a few things that we've done in the community lately that I'll highlight just because, again, we're extremely busy, and I think we sometimes don't always mention these things, but we did have our 10th anniversary car show and resource fair. We held that at our Fisher House. We received some really nice donations that help us continue all of the work that we do, such as supporting the families with things like just bare essentials when they come there at that time. And so we really utilize those donations, and we received so much support. I think since our beginning of the Fisher House, we have housed over about 4,000 family members today. So it's pretty significant when you start thinking about that and what it means. So we're very happy about that. We also hosted an adaptive sports clinic as well, which is really inspiring when you go have a chance to take part in that. Did things such as wheelchair, basketball, pickleball, golf, disc, and many other things, adaptive cycling. So we'll continue to partner just really with a larger adaptive sports clinic nationally and host local things, and then also send our veterans to take part in these national events as well. We did have a veterans engagement resource fair as well, where we assisted, I think we counted a little over 50 veterans with resources and information. That was at El Pueblo Activity Center on Irvington Road. So we held that, and I think it went over very well, and we're going to continue to ramp up all of these resource fairs and outreaches that we can do and bring more and more, I think, resources really out into the community and really work to engage in that way. Just, I keep going through here. We've done so many, many wonderful things. I'm not going to continue to read all of those, but any questions about anything we have upcoming, as well as things that we've done in the past and suggestions you might have, we're always going to be open to that, and please do reach out directly. Additionally, I will just mention that our campus is going to be, it is now and will continue to be under some construction as we work to continually modernize what it is that we do have from an infrastructure perspective, and then also make some changes and modifications to really match the growth in veteran enrollment that we're getting. So if you drive around, you will see our emergency department is under renovation now. We're adding actually about 8,000 square feet to our emergency department and really working to modernize the space. Since the medical center came into inception, and then today, obviously the way we do business in providing healthcare has changed, and it really necessitates our ability, us to have to work and kind of redo some of these things that we have. So we're working very hard to keep the character and all the things that makes our facility so special, but also make it to where workflow is efficient and that we can do the things that we need from a modern healthcare perspective. Once we get that addition done, we'll move our folks into that part. And then we will work on modernizing some of the existing space that we have. So this is a multi-phased approach. So you'll see things going on for quite a while there. But we're going to continue to where it doesn't hamper us in our ability to provide the care right now. If you drive through the campus, you'll notice we've got some things blocked and some signage, and we're rerouting some of our campus where we continue to renovate our building 80. That's where we do all of our mental health care. It's fully functional now, but we do continue some renovations there, so we've had to block off some streets so we can get some equipment in there and bring supplies in there and other things. We are hopeful. We're looking at October, November for that to be fully finished. I am going to say I'm going to caveat there that we are having some hiccups, so it may, I think if folks familiar with construction knows, it may go just a little bit longer than that, but we are turning the corner there. And I do think that's all of the updates I had. I know folks are continuing to be really curious about updates around Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and VA partnerships there going forward. What I will say to that is the conversation continues. These things, I think that what you see is a large desire from both our side and from our interactions theirs as well. We have a lot to work through, though. It is not as easy as one might think when you're having to work through the different the kind of our two different pathways for approvals and really kind of adjudicating the entire process. So I know folks are eager for updates on that and want to really know what we're doing and timelines associated with that. And unfortunately, just being as transparent as I can, I don't have them because we just haven't. We're not at that type of a place yet. But we will continue to provide updates as we do have them. But the engagement and desire is there, I will say, on all sides. And so I do think that's the biggest hurdle. And now we just have to try and start working through some of these little pieces along the way. But I'd be happy to answer any questions if anybody has anything.
Any questions or comments? Go ahead, Lorraine.
Yes, thank you for your service, Dr. Lockridge. This is Lorraine Obregon, Gold Star Mother, VAC, Junior Vice Chair, / was Secretary, and I'm also involved with Dave. But this may be really an unfair topic, and given the fact that you're so new to our community and to Southern Arizona Health, but I did receive a very concerning email, which I'm going to bring it up for the good of all the order, is that this is from an individual that's worked for the funeral industry for quite some time with veterans. And apparently the VA has had a situation for the past 2 years. I'm not sure if you're familiar or you're not, but they're directing the families once upon death for them to use sensible cremation in funerals. What's happening, and I'll get to this, so maybe perhaps we can dive into this together, because I did give him my word that I'm going to look through this and make sure that we can investigate it and make sure that they're being direct, not, I don't want to say persuaded or whatever the word is, but they did demote or remove a person in that particular position because upon the death of these veterans, we're told to use sensible cremations and funeral. However, the same, and this is happening again because the families are complaining to this funeral person that's involved in Southern Arizona. And what's happening is that these bodies are waiting in a mortuary for 2 weeks in a refrigerator. It's sometimes a situation where they're causing the family to go to Cave Creek or to some other place that makes it very difficult in cost. And as you know, everything is so expensive, and the loss of any loved one, regardless of status, it just seems such a vulnerable time. Are you aware or will you be looking into that? Because this individual said that they have filed complaints on the veteran complaint line and 2 weeks ago. And previous to that, and no one's answering that. Do you have any information, or how can we resolve this issue? Because it's like you're redirecting a family. It's kind of steering, you know, it's like there's so many funeral homes that they should be allowed. If you don't want to be buried, like, you know, in the military here, or you want to go, you know, Fort Huachuca or wherever you want to go, they should have the ability to pick the funeral home. I know when my son died, I got to pick the funeral home. I brought him home from Fort Eustis. So there's something going on there, whether it's a persuasion or, but it needs to be resolved. This has happened for 2 years now, and that same person, somebody else is doing the same thing, and now I'm getting complaints sent to me, like, please help. What can we do?
Yeah, I would have to understand that a little bit more. And it's not something that's come to me, which makes me wonder if it's happening from VHA or if it happened, yeah. It's happening more on it's happening VHA. Yeah. That's not come. I was just wondering if it was coming through from benefits, right? So a lot of times people will thank VHA when it's benefits. So that's my question there. But yeah, we would have to look into that a little bit more and try and understand it, because that's not something that's risen to me, but it doesn't mean that somebody's not working that issue on my team. So
they're dying at the VA hospital on 6th Avenue, and they're being steered to a particular service. Mm-hmm. And these bodies are then sitting in a refrigerator, which, you know,
unfortunately,
shouldn't be happening.
I know, yeah. I understand. I was just there saying are that, veterans. Unfortunately, I do not have anything on that, but really, if we can get that information, I can get it over to our advocate office, which one of our executives oversees, and then we're tracking that, and we see those types of things to closure, so that way we can get some eyes on it.
Yes, so this is a highly credible person that's been in the community working for years and decades, and I'll get that over to you because he works in the funeral industry. And yes, and there is Marana, a cemetery also has an issue with that, so I'll get this over, and hopefully we can get it resolved. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you for that, Lorraine. Not an issue that we knew about, so thank you for raising that concern. Any other questions or comments? I do have one, only because before some of our folks leave the meeting and everything, especially because we have a lot of our healthcare providers, I have been meeting with Banner United may also get involved, Arizona Complete Health, and some of the nonprofit groups like Holding the Hope and stuff like that. They are planning to do a women vet, probably a health fair in either late summer, maybe early fall. But it's also going to be an employment fair and everything. So City of Tucson, that's why I'm like, wow, you guys are here. Matt, you're here. So thank you so much. So I want to get that word out. They're still planning it. I think Banner wants to be like the head person there, but I definitely want some VA City of Tucson resources and stuff out there to help support. They want to target women vets because they feel like that's a population that really needs support and stuff like that. So, but that's what they kind of were throwing out there, was like a health fair / employment fair. So just putting that out there before we move on. So sorry to kind of take control of the agenda there for a moment, off topic there. All right.
What, could you repeat that date when y'all was?
And they don't. They just said summer. In the summer.
Yes.
And yes, you go.
Okay. Yes. We had kind of a brainstorming session, like some of the things that are kind of going on in the community. And they're, so now they're going back with their executive to see what's, our executives to see what day, time, date, locations, and stuff like that. So I'll let you guys know as soon as I know anything else. Okay. Well, Leslie, you know, our representatives there, our council members, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. Do we have Darren Gregg here in attendance online?
No.
Virtual? No? Okay. Hopefully in September he'll have some updates for us. You know, as updates come, even if over the summer, if they have any updates they want to share, they can send it through our clerks and we can distribute that information to the VAC too, since we're about to go dark. Okay. All right. So now on to Laura Butler from Military One Source. You have the floor, madam.
Ms. Carey, thank you very much. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Some of you are new faces, some old faces here as well, with the work I do out in the community. So my name is Laura Butler. I am contract support for Military One Source. Military One Source is the 24/7, 365 resource that's out there for our active duty service members, their families, National Guard, Reserves, transitioning service members, and for those veterans that are out a year from their DD-214s. So we offer a range of support services, some of the more popular ones, just to do some high-level touch points on this, are our non-medical counseling. We have employment and training resources for spouses, wounded warrior caregivers, education, new mill parents, child care, spouse relocation, service member relocation, PCS resources, as well as financial and tax consultations that are out there. We're available in person at installations. You'll find various personnel out there like our MFLACs that are there for service members on base and then sometimes embedded in with units. There's also virtual options, either chatting through the website or directly calling into our triage line. So our triage line is actually the general place where we send individuals, even those individuals that aren't sure exactly what they're looking for, but they're having a military life-related issue and they're looking for resources. They can call in and have that individual that picks up the phone 24/7 be able to help them out with that. Another great thing about Military One Source, our services are confidential. So that tends to be a question with many of our service members, like, hey, are you going to tell my commander about this? So we have a duty to warn, of course, but for the most part, everything else is going to be confidential if a family member or a service member calls in and needs a resource or benefit. So I could make sure after this meeting, I've shared quite a few things with Ms. Carey already. We've connected, so I can send some resources your way. The triage, I'll give you the triage number right now so you have it, and then I can also share the associated websites with it that would be useful for our community. So the triage line number is 800-342-9647, and the primary website to see everything that's available for you would be militaryonesource.mil. So I'd be happy, for those of you that have events, feel free. I'll also share with Ms. Carey how to put in an official request to have a field consultant come out to any large events, but feel free to reach out to me if you need anything. I'm here locally, but I support across the state. So thank you very much.
All right. Any questions or comments? Awesome. Ms. Laura, thank you for joining us and sharing all that information. Another resource for your groups, especially your VSOs that are out there. Or as you know, you're talking with friends and stuff like, hey, I wish there was support for this. There's another resource there in the community for us. So thank you so much, Laura. All right. So on to item, your problem. On to item F, Matt Langseth. You have the floor, sir, if you have anything.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much, Chair. Last month, the end of last month, I hit 3 years as the Military and Veteran Program Coordinator for the city. We started off with one program that was SkillBridge. We have now scaled that program. It's going extremely well. We have 9 fellows currently in-house. We hit a program record of 11 last month, which was pretty awesome. And our official partnerships have grown. And now we're U.S. Army PACE partners, Military Spouse Employment Partnership partners. And we recently became Education with Industry partners, which is going to allow a currently serving service member to serve with us for 10 months and then take what they learn and go back to the military to finish out their career. And the one that we have is going to start in August, and his name is Michael, and he will be in the IT department. We also reached out to the University of Arizona, and we are currently, our office supports the job shadow program. There'll be a U of A intern job shadowing within HR on the 17th of June. We also support their micro internship program, and we've entered into service to service, which is a program where we're going to have 2 veteran students support the city for 1 year with an option of a second. And then we also have regular interns in-house from the University of Arizona. And so all that happens out of the Military and Veterans Program Office. We also have our next major ERG, which is Employee Resource Group event. Shout out to Orlando Ford of the Southern Arizona VA healthcare system and his team. He's going to have 4 great folks down there from Saba Hicks, as well as we're going to have people from the Arizona Department of Veterans Services, some of their veteran benefits counselors on site. It'll be at TPD Midtown. It's going to be in 16 June, and that's going to be for the employees of the city of Tucson, so they can help either increase their claim, file a claim, or get supported through VA healthcare. So we're super excited to be a part of the 23 April co-branded Saba Hicks and City of Tucson Veterans event, and I'll be at Fort Huachuca tomorrow providing support, and then I'll be at Davis-Monthan for their first career fair in about 18 months on Friday. So lots going on, and super excited to be here. So thank you very much. Any of your questions?
Questions, but you're going to see Tom there tomorrow.
Okay, then I'll see Tom there tomorrow.
Tom and Floyd.
I have a question. Will you say hi to him?
To Tom? Of course.
Great. He waved goodbye when he was leaving.
All right. Any other questions or concerns? So, Matt, nice to see you, and thank you for coming and giving us those updates. All right.
Thank you, Matt.
So, item H, do we have Sarah here or any updates from her from the Kino Memorial Park?
Nothing lately, no.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And Arlette, is she here from Senator Mark Kelly? Okay. All right. So item 4 on the agenda, the legal action report. Do we have any questions or comments on that?
Terry Byron makes a motion to accept.
Okay. Do we have
Bruce Hayes, American Legion, second.
Thank you, Bruce. All right. Roll call.
Terry Byron?
Yes.
John Curtis?
Yes.
Bruce Hayes?
Yes.
Brenda Huey?
Yes.
Rocio Carey?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregón?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Tom's off. Marshall Woolheater?
Yes.
And Alan Young?
Yes.
Perfect. LAR passes 9-0.
Excellent. All right. So item 5, Treasurer's Report. Ms. Terry?
I didn't get a chance to print it out. I know I was just looking online here to pull it up.
couldn't get the file to print for me. So please give me a second here and I will look it over. My hero.
Yeah.
I know we have money and we haven't spent money. Beginning balance in the new savings account. Beginning balance was $2,199.19. Fundraising, we raised 2 cents. So now we have $2,199.21. And we haven't had any expenses. And we did have a donation. I think we talked about that last month on that report, that we had a donation from the American Legion Post 109.
Bruce, you had your hand up?
No, ma'am. I was just waving because that's who I represent.
Well, thank you guys for your donation. We appreciate it.
As do I.
Specifically 109.
All right.
One of my
to get a first.
I make a motion that we accept the report as read. Bruce Hayes, American Legion.
Lorraine Obregon, Gold Star Mother, back Junior Vice Chair. I second the motion.
Thank you, Lorraine. So roll call.
Discussion first.
Sorry, I just have a question.
Sure.
This is my first meeting. I've been to a few commission meetings, and I've never encountered a commission that has money, that has a treasurer's report. So I'm just curious, what do you all use the money for?
So we fund the military lounge at the Tucson Airport. We also provide the four chaplain ceremony in February at the Pima County Park. At the Veteran Memorial Park. And so we have expenses related to that. We hire a band, and that's really the only expense now. Everything else is donated. But really the military lounge and then Operation Exodus. We have soldiers come in from Fort Huachuca, passing through the Tucson International Airport. And since 1968, which is basically when we started, the committee, that was their main goal, was to support soldiers traveling home, giving them snacks so that they have food to eat on their way home. And so that's our biggest expense, depending on how many soldiers are coming. I think we spent just over $1,000 this year, maybe $1,500. I don't quite remember. Sometimes it's as much as $2,500 to get all the snacks and stuff. And then, again, we support the military lounge with water and snacks throughout the year, as requested.
Thank you for humoring that discussion. That's really interesting, though. Thank you. I didn't know you had that background.
Yeah, thanks for asking that.
I'm glad I asked.
No, thank you. We have a few other folks that, are, you know, this is their first time at the meeting, so very good question to answer for all of them. So. Okay, so, roll call.
Harry Byrd?
Yes.
John Curtis?
Yes.
Bruce Hayes?
Yes, sir.
Brenda Huey?
Yes.
Rocio Carey?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregón?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Marsha Woolheater?
Yes.
Alan Young?
Yes.
Yes.
Treasurer's report passes 9-0.
Excellent. Okay. So now item 6, let's start with our committee reports on the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery. Do we have any updates from our committee?
I didn't attend the meeting last. Marlon.
Yes, MOWW does have an update as of the 30th of April. Let me bring that up. Ms. Tanya Morrison, the administrator for Marana, the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Marana on the west side of Tucson, reports the following. She could not be here today. For April, there were 63 interments, 18 burial urns, 18 caskets, and 27 columbariums. They had 53 veterans, three from the Nevada National, I'm sorry, Navy Reserve Forces, National Guard status included, and 10 dependents. The total to date at the cemetery is, as of the 30th of April, is 5,959 interred. Also, as a reminder, there's a flag placement for Memorial Day on Friday, May 22nd at 8 a.m., and the Memorial Day event is Monday, May 25th, also at 8 a.m. Construction is progressing well, and they hope to have Space Force emblem installed along with the other services added to the assembly area in time for the Memorial Day activities. And she sends her regards. Subject to any questions.
So what other construction is taking place there? Are they adding more columbariums? Are they expanding the urn garden? What exactly are they doing?
There's a combination of maintaining the current ground, replacement of a couple of trees, and also as a recent update, the city of Marana has donated substantial acreage to double the size of the cemetery.
Nice.
In the next couple of years. Phase two is currently under discussion, early discussion, as to where they will dovetail existing grounds, facilities, and services with the added acreage they intend to add. Of course, there are some legal issues that are being discussed as well as some environmental.
Any questions or comments?
Thanks, Marlon.
You are welcome.
Thank you. All right, 6B, Arizona Department of Veteran Services. Do we have any updates from anyone on them? All right, so Military Lounge and Operation Exodus. Ms. Terry, do you have any updates for us?
I don't. I reached out to the representative that I've been in touch with no response. So I'm hoping that position isn't vacant again. So I'll have to reach out to the boss and see what I can find out about that.
Okay. Thank you for that update. Four chaplain ceremony planning for 2027, Ms. Terry.
Haven't started yet. come September, I'll lock in a date and get with the park to secure the area for that day.
Is there a time where maybe we shouldn't have the four chaplain ceremony on our agenda, like certain months? Like say, I don't know, April to, you know, May or something, and then put it back on in September maybe?
Yeah, we could suspend it, yeah.
So Amari Francisco, can we do that?
One of us have to remember to say, put it back on.
Right. So hopefully our clerks can help us remember there. So thank you for that. That way we're not having stuff on there that we don't need to cover. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, no pressure.
Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments? Or Amari Francisco, do we need to vote on that at all? Or motion for that at all?
No.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. All right, so item 7, social media presence. We still have our Facebook page. We see that some folks are posting on there. continue to post, and of course, sending them also to Amari and Francisco to help share them out through our committees, committee members and stuff too. So thank you for that. But any questions or comments on social media presence? Okay. All right. So now on to item 8, outreach to the mayor and council. Again, first of all, thank you, council members and Matt, for coming, giving us updates. I also want to send a thank you up to the mayor's office and our clerks for getting us a really quick turnaround and beautiful write-ups for our late members, the late Will Burks, and for Henry Johnson, who had to step down for health issues. Beautiful letters and everything. I still need to get Henry's letter to him. They even gave me 2 copies, so I was like, oh, well, I don't know why the family wanted to, but I appreciate it. I don't know, maybe for us as a group and then one for them, but I just gave both to Bill Burke's family, like if somebody, one of the kiddos, I guess, wanted to keep them or something. So, but anything else that we want to send up to mayor and council, any updates, messages, requests, I guess?
Yeah, we just really appreciate all the support tonight. You know, it was great to have you guys here and get updates on stuff. So it's really great to have you here.
Yeah. Do we need a motion to maybe put something as introduction of guests, like always have like an option there for a city representative? So that way it's not just Matt, but council members and stuff like that. If they happen to be there, you know, give them first dibs for updates maybe, you know.
So look into that, because usually they have to be agendized. But okay. I'll get a response and see what we can do, or if we can add anything like that.
Okay.
And I'll let you know.
It's just a quorum issue, just in case everyone attends one meeting, it is, or we make quorum with them. So we'll get management approval, and then we can go from there.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be really great just to have a council member and just have it be whoever is available.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they may not know until last minute if they can or can't do. So, awesome. Okay. So, on to, or anything else from anybody else on the mayor and council? Okay. All right. Item 9, VAC fundraising strategies. Do we have any ideas on any other fundraising strategies, I guess?
So Terry Byron and the ladies are asked about fundraising. So just to fill you in, we did do a couple of fundraisers in the past year or so. In February, we had a wine tasting, and we made how much money? $220 for that. And then prior to that, in October, we did an event. We partnered with a company that has
equine therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, cool. Equine therapy. And so we had a barbecue at the would you call it a ranch?
Yeah.
Yeah, at the ranch where they have their horses. And so we made a little bit of money with that. But we'd like to do more community outreach like that and get funds for our projects. But a lot of our funding comes from donations from the groups that are represented here. They go back to their organizations and say, hey, let's support Operation Exodus, or let's support the 4-chaplain ceremony. And that's how we get our funds.
Yeah. And we're not a 501c3. So, it makes it a little bit tougher sometimes for our donors. So, but we thank them for when they do give us donations. So. Thank you for that, Terry. Appreciate given the actual data. Yes, Ms. Nikki?
Is there a way you could provide me and Councilmember Schubert with what your needs are from a funding standpoint? Obviously, she and I have to learn how to raise money, and we may have some connections that would be interested in supporting. It's kind of a skill set I've had to develop that I didn't want to develop. But if there is a good use that, you know, we could maybe make some connections with. I know I for sure. I don't want to sign up Miranda for something, but I know I for sure would love to know what you all are doing and how we can help.
I appreciate
no
that.
No pressure.
We do have a fundraising letter that we haven't sent it out this year. We didn't send it out this year. But we do have a fundraising letter that we send out to the community. And when Khalil was in business before they got bought out, they would donate soda that we would be able to take to the military lounge and use for Operation Exodus. So there were some support coming in from, you know, donations in that way. So absolutely, we can get you a copy of that letter for sure.
Yeah, please let us know.
Madam Chair, MOWW, just a thought, MOWW has made initial contact with the Tucson Roadrunners hockey organization, and we discussed the possibility of fundraisers throughout the year and with specific events requiring services from veteran organizations. So I did send to Francisco an invite that we got toward the end of the current season. But for any activities, and this is for my colleagues here on the VSO coordination, if you want to reach out to those folks and their sales office, MOWW would be happy to do that.
Yeah, the Roadrunners actually had Military Appreciation Night a couple weeks ago. And one of the organizations I volunteer with, the Tucson Detachment, Marine Corps League, because Commandant Tunks is Nighthawk 72 Marine Corps League. But 007 actually was able to set out a table, which is very unusual. This was the first time they, like, opened up the vendor space for a group at no cost to have a table there. And then they actually, the Tucson Detachment has a color guard, so they were able to post colors, and then they were also able to do the puck drop that night. So very, very unusual that that took place, but it was great that we could get that exposure.
Definitely.
But no tickets sold. So you can go to Vet Tins and get them cheaper than what we could offer them for as a fundraiser.
Well, Ms. Nikki, Terry, and Marlon, thank you guys for that information. Anything else there on fundraising? Okay. So item 10, the Veterans Day Parade.
The Veterans Day Parade Committee is in full swing. We are pretty much meeting monthly. It is November 11th at 11 a.m. The parade route is small. It is not changing this year because the route down St. Mary's, there's still the construction there. So we can't wait for that construction to be over so that we can expand the parade route. But we are looking for sponsors and participants. It doesn't cost anything to put a float in the parade, but it does cost $10,000 to put on the parade. And that's barricades, porta potties, golf carts, paying to cover the meters, paying for off-duty police officers to be out doing traffic control. It adds up quick. So you know anybody who wants to be a sponsor, be listed in the program, listed on the website, mentioned from the stage, please. The theme this year is celebrating 250 years of freedom because it's America's 250th birthday.
Thank you for that. Any questions or comments on that, please? Okay. Item 11, do we have any updates on the memorials or the Mosaic Quarter, I guess, memorials?
I will speak up, not about Mosaic, but I should have said this under Sarah Horvath. The Vietnam Veteran Wall at the Keno Veteran Support Kino Victor Memorial Park. The wall, the memorials have been installed, and it looks really great. So, and they did replace all the stolen markers with black granite,
yes.
And they look really great. So,
yep.
Visit.
Huge accomplishment.
Yeah, that was huge. And I know we've talked to them about the park, about removing some of the grass to mitigate water usage and stuff like that. So I know that that's on their agenda as well. I tried to get them to add the Space Force flag under the Air Force flag because we can't install more poles. But that hasn't really happened yet. It was a suggestion, though. So.
Okay. It is exciting. All right. There's going to be a huge a veteran memorial at the Mosaic Quarter. So that was pretty interesting to learn and see. So.
Area.
Yep.
That's going to be okay.
Yes.
That's next year, correct?
Targeted for like March of next year for the first phase. Yeah. So I'm sure probably late this fall we'll probably get some more contact as things progress with the project itself. They made a couple of changes to the original design already.
Yep.
A couple of things they had planned that they took out, and they added more, local control of what's going on in there. For instance, like a food vendor, they were trying to get restaurants to come in, and they ran into franchising issues and, you know, how much it was going to cost, who's going to make, and who's going to control. So that was one of the big modifications they made was having their own concession firm. So that kind of limited the number of potential restaurants.
Interesting.
But it's a huge project. I mean, if you haven't seen it, then, you know, just contact Mosaic Quarter office, and either Frank Knott or Lindsay would be more than happy to probably set up a schedule for you to go out and tour it. It's just you don't have any idea of how big it really is until you're standing inside of that hockey facility and then the field house that's going to have 8 full-court basketball courts.
Massive.
I'd love to go see it.
64 feet tall that building is.
Oh,
gosh. It doesn't look like it until you're standing out there next to it looking up.
Yeah, I am very interested, yeah.
What memorial is going there?
So they're going to move we've worked with the county. The county and Mosaic Quarter have agreed to move the Veterans Memorial Plaza, which is currently at Aviation and Ritchie Boulevard, El Verde Aviation, Ritchie. It's down below the bridge. It's a hidden area. If you didn't know it was there, you wouldn't know it was there unless you followed the homeless people through there, because they found it, and, you know, and then it was desecrated. It was the first one that we got notified of. The Gold Star family memorial was put in there, and we'd been kind of keeping an eye on the place, and I got notified that it had been vandalized, and I went to the county. I went to them twice, and the county agreed to take that project on, and in the meantime, all the medallions at the Keno Sports Complex got stolen also.
Oh, my gosh.
So the county stepped up and replaced the medallions at both places, and they're maintaining the flags there now. So, and they were very, very, very helpful with this. I mean, I was quite impressed with the response from the county to do that. And as a result of that, Frank Knott and Lindsay, his wife, was actually at one of the Board of Supervisors meetings where I brought it up. They were sitting behind me. And lo and behold, a couple weeks later, out of the blue, I get a phone call from a gentleman. He says, you don't know me, but I know who you are. And he said, I was sitting behind you when you brought up about the memorials. And he said, I turned to my wife, and she said, before you ask the question, yes, we will.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I had said it would be nice if we had some place that we could centrally locate them in a more secure location. And bam, they just came right out of the blue and said.
Public. That's amazing. No, because everybody's going to get to see it. That's a much better placement.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to tuck
it
away.
There's lots of memorials around Tucson that are hidden that should be
better necessarily.
So that was kind of a broad overview, was trying to consolidate as many of them as we can, but we understand that some of them are in a location for a very historic and very meaningful reason, and we certainly wouldn't want to go in and try to move something like that. So,
but if there's opportunities to maybe replace, relocate other things where appropriate, that'd be great.
Yeah. So we've been working pretty close with them, and there's another gentleman that was here last month. He's with a group that they have some concept ideas also for additional memorials.
Okay.
And the thought process is to have a garden type area that's open rather than something that looks like it's all structured and all thrown around in the same place, you know, so it'll be like a meandering walkway through the memorial area there with the memorials kind of scattered through it.
Sounds great. Make it really beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you for that update. All right. Item 12, summer break. So this is our last meeting. We'll go dark our summer months, and we will be back September. So September 9th is our next meeting. It's also at the bottom of the agenda and everything. Any questions or comments at all about our summer break here?
Okay. My comment would be, if you have items that come up that you want to share with the committee, please make sure to send them to the clerk. Send them to Francisco and Amari, because they'll share it with us.
And please add both of us for coverage purposes, just because some of us are stuff at the office. We deserve a summer break as well.
Yeah, June, July, and August.
All right. So now item 13, report on the current events for the good of the order. So we'll go down roll call.
Terry Byron?
Yay, I get to go first. I have some flyers here, and I've sent them to Francisco. I'll make sure to get the Veteran Day Parade one out. I was just focused on May and June. We have Memorial Day at Marana Mortuary Cemetery, not the Veteran Cemetery, Marana Mortuary Cemetery. They will be having a memorial service put on by the VFW Post 5990 with the American Legion Post 148 and Nighthawk 72 Marine Corps League posting colors. They're asking organizations to place wreaths and a rifle salute by American Legion 148. South Lawn, and that's at 10 a.m. on Monday the 25th. So we're hoping that people will leave the Veteran Cemetery Memorial at 8 and come over to Marana Mortuary and Cemetery, since it's just around the corner. And then Funeraria del Angel South Lawn Cemetery, May 25th at 9 a.m. We have the ritual ceremony by VFW 549. Music by the Tucson Concert Band, posting of colors by the Sons of American Revolution, rifle salute by the Tucson Detachment Marine Corps League, and a flyover by the 162nd Fighter Wing Air National Guard. And East Lawn, same time, same date, May 25th, 9 a.m., ritual ceremony by Post 4903, that's VFW Post 4903. Music by the Sons of Orpheus, posting of colors by the Scottish American Military Society, Post 81. And if you ask them, they will tell you what's under their kilts. Rifle salute by Bulk Fuel Company A Marine Reserves, and a flyover by the Arizona Air National Guard. So if you can, plan to attend one of them, plan to place a wreath, and promote our organization. And then June 20th, the Tucson Detachment is having their 8th annual Andy Lopez Memorial Golf Tournament at the Haven in Green Valley. Cost is $100 per golfer, and we're also looking for sponsors for that event.
Terry, excuse me. So for the memorial services, are y'all going to be placing flags on each veteran's?
Yes, thank you. So on Saturday morning, the scouts and volunteers will be at each cemetery placing flags on veteran grave spaces. There aren't that many at Marana Cemetery. South Lawn Cemetery has, outside of the veteran section that's handled by the VFW Post 549 and 4903 and American Legion 68. Outside of that, we place close to 4,000 flags throughout the cemetery.
Okay.
And then we pick them back up that Monday afternoon. And at ESON, they have scouts that come out and place flags, as well as Post 4903 goes and has specific members that they put flags on. Perfect. And American Legion Post 36 goes out and places flags there as well.
So can the public, like me, come and help?
Absolutely. Yeah. I said, and volunteer. So everybody is welcome, but if you come out and place flags, you got to come clean them up.
What about Evergreen?
I don't know. It's not my cemetery.
You have information.
Go ahead.
That's why I'm asking.
Well, your turn's not up yet. So that's all I have.
John Curtis?
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Bruce Hayes?
Okay. Grab your phones and look for an app called Objective Zero, which is an anti-suicide app for veterans, where they can do what they need to do, talking to a person, a pathfinder, on the phone without having to identify who they are. It's a great program. I'm one of their pathfinders. The other program that I'm involved with is Holding the Hope, which is a peer support group that meets at Esperanza Escalante, which is the housing development outside of DM. The third Wednesday of every month is the women's version. Last Wednesday of every month is open. And soon to be coming in is the LGBTQ plus version on Thursdays. I believe it's the second Thursday of each month. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Brenda Huey?
Yes, Brenda Huey, Tucson chapter of the Military Officers Association of America. I just have some good news to report. We, as the year winds down and school years end, our chapter awarded 7 MOA national medals, 3 to U of A ROTC cadets and 4 to local JROTC cadets. And the JROTC cadets were from LaToya, Cienega, Flowing Wells, and Desert View High School. So it was really exciting. I was part of that. And the MOA chapter also awards 3 $2,000 scholarships to U of A ROTC cadets. And these are underclassmen, targeted towards underclassmen to keep them in the program and also for those that are in financial need. So that's also a really feel-good thing that we do. And then finally, other good news is we've received 2 grants from MOA National in the last month, and $1,800 will be earmarked for the Tucson Veterans Stand Down organization. And we also, and that's specifically for rental assistance in that organization. And then we also received about $300 to support the administration of the VSO office on Davis Montham. So, yeah, so good news from us, and that's all I have.
See you, Carrie.
Okay. I have a few updates. Some we had already covered. Nikki, thank you. You saved us time with the Soldier's Best Friend. Bruce, you kind of helped with the Holding the Hope one and everything. I already brought up kind of the Banner United, the Women Health Fair that they're planning for. I just wanted to make sure we had most of our people and our guests that I thought would be interested in that. So that's why I brought that up earlier. So Arizona Complete Health does have some peer support training coming up. It is free training. It is an employment program, so they're looking for people that need employment first for that. It is a free program. So they're taking applications. Let's see. They have the veteran peer support one coming up. Oh, my gosh. Can I see my little writing here? That'll be June 8th through the 15th. So it's a Monday to Monday. So it's 1 week, 5 days of training, and then that Monday come in for your test and everything. And then there's a family caregiver peer support one. That's 25 May until 5 June. And I found out they are working on a family caregiver peer support training, but they're going to have some roundtables, have some veterans and family of veterans come in because they're going to start a certification for family of veterans peer support certification. That's also coming up. So I'm hoping to be on part of that little brainstorming session to kind of help build that training up with Arizona Completely Health. So I'm super, super excited about that. And my last one here. So I just got news this week. It's been a crazy whirlwind here. I am moving. So my husband's job is relocating us, and I don't know if I will make our September session. So I will probably more than likely be gone by the end of summer, so before we come back from going dark. So the chair position will be open. It's been great being here. I love to see how you guys have been just so excited to kind of grow our committee to where it's been today. You know, you guys are so active in your communities, and I'm so, so happy to have known and worked and collaborated with a lot of you guys on so many different things, not just on this committee, but other things that we've overlapped with, helping in the veteran community. So I love my time here and everything. But our family has to kind of move on. We kind of knew about it, that it was coming up, but with the two shutdowns, it kind of put delays in everything. Like, is it coming? When is it coming? Is it, you know? So they finally did, and they want us to move quickly. So how quickly? Well, we'll find out. So I'll keep you guys updated and stuff, too. But just so you guys kind of think about for your new chair and stuff. So that's all I have.
Lorraine Obregon.
Yes, Lorraine Obregon, Gold Star Mother, back, Junior Vice Chair and Disabled American Veterans Auxiliary. Rocio, Chair, what can I say? I've learned everything from you. You helped me when I was the darkest time, when I lost my son and I joined. Goodness, you can't go. I know that you have to go, but you know what? God bless you. God bless you in all your endeavors. I'm sure you're going to shine on and help as many people as you did here in our old Pueblo. Well, with that said, I want to circle back with the email that I received that is very concerning. And I kind of want to read a little bit here because this is what we're supposed to do, not just the fundraisers and all these great programs, which is great what I hear families of these veterans too, they need the peer support too, because we are affected by that too. But it says, thank you so much for responding. I have a concern which I sent off as a complaint to Veterans Affairs 2 weeks ago, but I've never received a reply or confirmation. I also left a voicemail on their so-called complaint line. I'm still involved in the funeral industry in Southern Arizona, and after visiting with funeral homes in Tucson and Casa Grande, I found the average wait time for a veteran to be buried at Marana Veterans Cemetery is an unacceptable 2 months. There's a funeral home in Casa Grande that has a veteran in their refrigeration unit for 2 weeks. If the families want to bury their loved one, they're going to Cave Creek, which is, of course, is causing the families an additional cost. So that is a concern. 2 months is just too long to wait to bury. The other concern is that the VA hospital here in Tucson, the referral when death occurs goes to predominantly the same funeral home. From the complaints I've received, this has been happening for the last 2 years. It was addressed, and the person in charge of the repeated offense was either removed or demoted, then was replaced by another who again is doing the same. Basically, when someone passes, the person is suggesting this particular funeral home, which is they're saying, send them to go to sensible cremation and funerals. He wants some help with this. How can we help? I want to help because I remember how vulnerable I was. I had great people to help me in the military because I didn't know how to navigate it myself. From the time they came to my home, which I knew when I saw them in the dress blues and the shoes and I knew. I just knew. And it really tears me to hear that because we're so vulnerable, you know, with our loved ones. And
How can we get a fair, non-biased staff to really help during this time? You know, this is happening predominantly at the hospital. So they have to have some kind of resource. You know, maybe it's social services, or maybe it's, and I hated to throw that on doctor that just arrived, but I know how important it is, because it's the last memory you have in that time, and it's with you forever. It never leaves you. So that's number one, is we need to make sure that we are, but I don't know how to address it other than speaking here at this time, because there's got to be some offense. Like, you can't steer people to only go to a particular funeral home, because that's just wrong. I don't know what's involved there. Number two is, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So number two is the fact that I don't know the logistics in funeral homes, but this is a person that does visit them frequently because he's an advocate for veterans. They shouldn't be waiting for 2 months. I know that there's funds that the military allows for the burial of, you know, I guess in the DD-214. I don't know all the logistics. Like I said, I'm a mom of a fallen soldier. I do come from a long line of veterans, Marines, and Army, but a lot of them were drafted. And so then they didn't go because it was hush-hush. You don't mention Vietnam at all. And these are our service members that never received the care they needed. Anyways, back to for the better of all the order is, what can we do to advocate for our deceased veterans? Like, there's got to be a way, because I know the Marana Cemetery is not that busy, and I know that there are some lags with payment, with military covering either the opening and closing, or the if you're going to put them in a crypt, or the cremation. But there's got to be something that we can advocate together that we can approach this, because I did promise this individual that I'm going to get back to him. And let him know that we're working on it. We're working, and we have people that have eyes on it. We've spoken about it. I know we're going dark, but I have to make sure that this is not just a conversation that we're going to have and then it's going to go away, because we're going to all have stories from the summer and all these other agenda stuff. But the reality is that our veterans are often forgotten, especially those who are deceased. So that's just a food for thought. Like, if you, any of you, have any information, please send it to Mari and Francisco, and let's do something about this, because we too at one point will be gone, but we want to make sure that we can just keep it sacred so that they're not just waiting on a slab, or, well, we don't have payment, therefore we can't do nothing. I mean, there's got to be a way that we can work this through so that it's not so hard on the family, knowing that they're just sitting there waiting. You know, and oftentimes it is money, and it's just really simple. It's a process that we need to figure out what we need to do to cut all the red tape, and mm-hmm. let's just get straight to the point. And that's all. Thank you all for your service, and God bless you all. And thanks, City, the mayor and city council. Thank you so much for being here. Greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Ms. Nikki, have your hand up.
Oh, thank you. And Lorraine, thank you for bringing this up and helping us understand more about this issue. While Councilmember Schubert and I are, you know, at the city level in terms of jurisdiction, sometimes when we do inquire about things, it can kind of cut through some of the noise. And I know that, you know, we both have great, you know, relationships with Congresswoman Grijalva. I have a great relationship with Congressman Siskamani. So I feel like there is a possibility of getting some additional attention on this issue. So I know for me, I would love to know how I can learn a little bit more to specifically help inquire about what might be going on and pull in the proper folks who may be able to apply some pressure if folks are not getting answers from their federal government or the local government. So I would love to figure out how to connect with you and learn more and be a resource to try to at least get some visibility on this issue for sure.
Thank you for that, Nikki. Bruce, do you have your hand up?
Yes, ma'am. The Office of Inspector General is, when you submit a complaint there, anywhere in the VA system, they will take care of it.
Good point on that. Tom, you have your hand up?
Yes. I want to point out we have somebody in our midst, Miss Terry Byron, who I like to refer to as the Grim Reaper. She works at a funeral home. That lady is perfect for all this. She took care of my mother's funeral arrangements without one hitch. She keeps badgering me to do mine, and I am a veteran, Lorraine. I do have full benefits and everything like that to get buried, so I'll probably sit on a slab for a minute. But I have, in that time, put my, oh, I don't know how to explain it. I've given my permissions to Terry and her group to take care of it. Terry knows exactly what to do and where to go and what avenues to approach to attack this situation. So my suggestion is, when you get a hold of that person, point her in Terry's direction. And I know Terry's a busy person, but I know Terry won't hesitate to answer every single question. Am I right, Terry? She's my adjutant, so she has to answer me.
Yes, sir. But, thank you.
No, Terry, Lorraine.
You left some serious tire tracks on poor Terry there. You've been back
there. That's all right. You know, what I'll do is I will clean those tire tracks. Lorraine, Terry knows her business. And Lorraine, you brought up a good thing. And I am actually going to go speak tomorrow at the Veterans Association thing in Sierra Vista, and I will bring that up. I will bring that to light. My main concern is a timeline on claims and stuff like that, but I will definitely put that in my notes to address the funeral situation, because it doesn't matter if you die in combat or you die in civilian life. If you're a veteran, you deserve to be honored, and it should be fast. So I will take care of that as best I can tomorrow. But in alter routes, by all means, go through Terry Byron. She's a behemoth on the funeral process of everything. She knows. So don't hesitate to reach out to her. I know she won't answer emails because she gets 17,000 a day, but she will get back to you. So trust me on that, Lorraine. If you have a question about funeral services through the VA or whatnot, the best person you have is the Grim Reaper over there, Terry Byron.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And there's going to be times where we bring up stuff that may not be the happy stories and stuff like that, but we got to bring those up too. They're just as important, probably even more sometimes, because, you know, there's an injustice probably going on there, you know.
Father Ruiz.
Thank you. For MOWW, we are wrapping up the operating year 2025, which will end on the last day of June in the calendar year. Between now and then, we just came off of a very, very busy ROTC and JROTC award season that was mentioned earlier by the colleagues over at MOAA. We're now about 2 weeks out from Memorial Day locally. I will be traveling to Washington, D.C. to participate and represent the Military Order of the World Wars at Arlington Cemetery. It's going to be a busy time there. We'll be laying a wreath with the contingent from the president. Shortly after, about 8 weeks into the early August timeframe, I'll be assuming national responsibilities as the CEO for MOWW. assuming the commander-in-chief position for the next 12 months after that. So I will not be in town for the memorial activities locally. However, we will find folks to support. Terry, if you have any requests for honor guards, please let us know before I depart. I depart on Saturday the 23rd, and we'll be spending the following week in the D.C. area at the headquarters in Virginia. We have this coming Friday, we'll be commissioning at the University of Arizona Air Force ROTC program, 23 brand new second lieutenants that we're proud to send out, and will be serving this great nation of ours. Among them, there is one young man who will be one of the first locally from Arizona becoming an officer with the United States Space Force. So we'll be sure to take pictures and share it with all of you. Busy time at the university campus this year. Subject to any questions, that's all we have. I still have a home in Marana, so I will be from time to time traveling back to Arizona for my responsibilities at Washington, D.C. Thank you all. It's been great working with you. Madam Chair, been an honor to work with you. You're still in my neck of the woods, regardless of where you're moving. When I'm not doing the D.C. Hat, I'm doing the total southwestern United States. We manage 5 states from the western panhandle of Texas to Utah, from east to west, and from Wyoming on down to the southern U.S. border with Mexico. So folks that may not know of our organization, we for sure are one of the smallest veteran service organizations still operating 106 years later. Very quietly, we have more in common, as I say, at airports and when I'm on the road with the clergy than we do with your typical American Legion or Veteran of Foreign Wars or other such organizations, more traditional. We are everywhere and anywhere. So for those from the city local government that joined us tonight, thank you so much for coming. I'm going to be your 800-pound gorilla when it comes to veteran services and activities. I was trained back east. I'm a native New Yorker from Brooklyn, Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and learned all of the mafia tricks. So I am now a local boy in southern Arizona and at your service. Subject to any questions, that's all I have.
Tom Tunks?
Yeah, well, Tom Tunks, Commandant Nighthawk 72. Yeah, I think I gave a little information on Terry's thing. I don't have much. I am going down in the morning to speak at the Veterans Affairs Service Committee, I guess, in Sierra Vista. It was thrown on me last minute. Marlon knows, people like the way they like my voice, I guess, either that or my antics. I don't know what it is, but people ask me to talk, and I don't do Google chat or whatever it is, GPT. I don't do that. I write my own damn speeches, and I've been writing a speech for 2 hours and 3 hours tonight, and I'm trying to incorporate everything. The reason I got off the phone earlier was I had a young man that served with my son, and he was having a little bit of an issue with some life unexpectancies. So I apologize for jumping off earlier, but I had to take care of that because that's what we do as veterans. But I'm putting together this speech. I don't know if it's a speech or a lecture, but I hope that I do all of you well, because they are announcing me as the City of Tucson Veterans Commission. So, if there's anything, and Lorraine, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I will incorporate that. That I didn't even think about that. That's very, very important. I know Terry has badgered me about that to get my funeral services done. It kind of scares me. I don't see a sigh when I see her, but I know that she's expecting me to die soon. But I need to, and everybody does. Everybody needs to take care of their services, just because it's hard. As you well know, your son came home and you had to deal with that on top of the fact of loss. So I will bring that up tomorrow and I will see if I can get an answer out of the Veterans Association or a Veterans Administration. Other than that, as Nighthawk 72, I don't have much to pass. When it comes to the department, they had their convention for the whole division in Las Vegas last weekend, and they passed some Marine Corps bylaws, but not necessarily anything that we need to talk about tonight. It all goes back to assisting veterans, and you know, there's always the suicide awareness, which I am a huge advocate of, and I'm going to put that in my thing tomorrow, and I do classes on that. And I was really hoping that the nice lady from the TPD would show up tonight, because we need, in my opinion, we need to have a veterans advocate talk to people that are in distress, that I don't know how to put the words, Bruce could help me, but they're indisposed. They're not right in their own mind or whatever. And not for nothing, if Joe College from, you know, Harvard comes and tries to tell them how their life could be better if they lived, it's not as important, I say, as if a veteran, somebody that's chewed the same ground or whatever, comes and talks to them. So I was hoping that she would be here so we could talk about that. But other than that, here I go saying that I don't have much to add, but I've added about 15 minutes. But no, I just, Rocio, it's going to be, yeah, I wish you weren't leaving. I like to see you at our events and yeah, you know. It's going to be sad, but I'm sure somebody will step in. I'm hoping so. Terry, you better start signing paperwork. But no, we're going dark for a minute. I hope that everybody has a great summer, and if you need anything, please don't hesitate to reach out. And if you're in the Marana area or anywhere, actually, in the Tucson, Sierra Vista, Marana area, and you know somebody that needs help, don't hesitate to reach out to me and my detachment, and we will do everything in my power. Don't reach out to me directly. Go to Terry. But by all means, I say that jokingly, but I'm just joking. All seriousness aside, if anybody needs anything, I don't care what branch you served in, if you need something, reach out to me, because I'm looking at a screen right now and there is so many avenues of approach that I could send people to. And so do not hesitate to reach out when we go dark. If somebody needs something, whether it be a funeral service or VA assistance or whatever, or even just spiritual advisory, Bruce is doing a great job with that. Don't hesitate to reach out to me or Terry, and Terry will get it back to me. And we're here to take care of you. We're here to take care of veterans. So anyways, enough of that ranting. I'm going to light my cigar, and thank you so much for everything that everybody does. I appreciate all of you. Thank you.
Marshall Woolhead?
Yes. So in answer to Evergreen Cemetery, American Legion Post 7 is planning on putting flags out this Saturday morning and having their ceremony of wreath laying there. And then the same thing, picking your flags up Monday evening. And then there's one other thing I'd just like to add is, I don't know how many of y'all know about the Remembrance Poppy, the little red poppy that, like when you go to Fry's and people are trying to give you a little flower and you're like, what the heck? But what that actually is a remembrance of the veterans all the way back to, it's a kind of a long story, but it started with a poem and, Flanders Fields poem, and just briefly, Canadian Medic, at that time, apparently, where the bodies were shot and killed, they just put dirt over them and put a white cross there. So this particular, he was a colonel, Colonel McCrae, and his partner, best friend, had been shot and killed. So he was sitting out there kind of mourning, you know, the loss of his friend, and he got the white crosses out there, and the poppy's like a dandelion. It just grows everywhere. So he wrote a poem about it. And then it got into the newspaper, and what a young lady did, this kind of between the VFW and the American Legion, because the lady in France put it out all over in Europe and other countries. But what they did was they started selling the poppy for a penny a piece, and the funds went to the, I know it's incorrect to use, but the orphanages for the fallen soldiers and, you know, the wives and stuff. And then it came to America, and the American Legion picked it up and incorporated it into their poppy. So anyhow, that tradition still exists today, and you don't have to give any donations, but it's for a remembrance, to remember the fallen soldiers and all the soldiers up to this day and time. And the nice thing about it is the program still, all the proceeds go to the families to help with, like, electricity or diapers or whatever. And the nice thing about here in the Tucson area in Oro Valley, all of our proceeds go directly to the veterans. So it's just, you take the time to look it up, Flanders Field, Remembrance Poppy or the Red Poppy, there's several different names. But then all the allies during that time, they all got their own version of the poppy, and Castle's got poppies all over. It's just really fascinating to read about, but it's also a very good program to donate to, or just accept the poppy because they really want to, you know, remember all the veterans. So that's my thing for the summer. And Amari, I just met you. We was talking about earlier, this is my second term for doing this, and you've been a great person and helping and very nice. So I wish you well in all your family's endeavors. Have a good summer. That's all.
Lorraine, you had a comment?
I do. Lorraine Obregon, back, Gold Star Mother, back, Junior Vice Chair, and Disabled American Veterans Auxiliary. Just want to say, I don't want to ever forget the homeless veterans. I know I bring it up every single time in a meeting, but let us not forget. We need to do something. I don't have any more words. Somehow, some way, it's got to be an agenda for our city council and our community. We in America don't let our veterans die on the street hungry or hot or needing resources. There's a lot of need for them. So let's keep them in our thoughts and our prayers, and hopefully we can get this resolved. Instead of increasing the numbers, let's decrease the numbers. And that's all I need to say. Thank you.
Alan Young.
So Al Young, Senior Vice Chair, and currently the District 2 Commander for Department of Arizona, American Legion. And One of the biggest highlights I've had recently was last week I had a personal invitation to a roundtable discussion with Congressman Juan Ciscomani and VA Secretary Doug Collins. And when it came my time to speak, I spoke to them about three issues. The first one being women's specific health care for veterans, that males sometimes forget that, you know what, we have sisters in service also, and they have special needs. And I had gone to D.C. in March and listened to testimony, and one of the things we brought up at that point was increased menopause research through the VA. And the secretary did answer and said that they are establishing more women's health clinics around the United States, and that you don't have to go to your primary provider first, that the females can now request to go directly to the Women's Health Center. So a big accomplishment on that. Secondly, I brought up increased community access to veterans care. The VA system is overwhelmed, and they do have a community care program. And I know myself, personally, I use the VA, and they will offer me, here's an appointment that we can get you into. Do you want to see if you can get into a civilian provider sooner? So there's also that option. And then, again, the American Legion is a huge, we have a huge initiative called Be the One, and it's to prevent veteran suicide. So I brought that up with them. And the VA has their, it's the acronym is SAVES, that is on that same board. So very receptive, very nice visit that I had with them. Great opportunity for me. And I mentioned that I'm currently the district commander. Our convention is June the 26th through the 28th, and I am a candidate for department vice commander for Area A. So Area A, right now, I'm a District 2 commander. I have 15 posts. If I get elected, I'm running unopposed, but that doesn't mean somebody can't come off the floor that day during the convention. But if I'm elected, I'll have somewhere between 45 and 50 posts to be responsible for oversight in Southern Arizona here, basically from Coolidge over to the New Mexico border, all the way back around Nogales, up to Ajo, and then back around to the Coolidge area. So a huge area to cover. So the reason I say that is because it might be a very interesting meeting in September. Should I get elected to that position, that's going to increase my workload. So I've got 3 months, basically, to figure out, okay, what can I continue to do? I always tell people, don't oversaturate yourself. Don't put on too many different hats, because if you're wearing more than one hat, you can't give 100% to both of them. So the more things you get involved in, the less opportunity you have to assist with something else. So it may become a matter of priorities for me. But in the meantime, like I said, I'll give it some thought, and I may actually be looking for someone to replace me too. So just so we're all on board with that, just a little transparency.
So. It's just 3 months.
I know, but it's been a great opportunity for me. I think I actually got appointed September of last year. I think was my first meeting, so I've made it a year.
And that's everyone.
Yes.
So now item 13. So the one thing I just had was, you know, trying to move maybe Darren Gregg to the September agenda, since he wasn't able to make this one or last month's. Do we have anything else for future agenda items?
Yeah, really quick from the clerk's office. Our September 9th meeting actually falls on the same day Marion Council would. So I was going to see if we would like to reschedule that one, or if we should just do completely hybrid to keep the same date.
No, virtual.
I mean virtual, sorry.
I'd say let's just keep it virtual.
Virtual?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
September 9th will be virtual.
You guys don't worry.
Do we need a vote on that or anything, or a motion for that?
We'll do a quick vote on that. Terry Byron?
Yes.
John Curtis?
Here.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry. Bruce Hayes?
Aye, yes.
Brenda Hugh?
Yes.
Rocio Kier?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregón?
Yes.
Marlon Ruiz?
Yes.
Tom Tunks?
Yes.
Marshall Woolhead?
Yes.
And Alan Young?
Yes.
All right. So our September meeting will be fully virtual just for that meeting. Passes 10-0. All right. That's it on my end.
All right. Anything else, you guys?
Okay. Will we be having to figure out the officer situation, or is it possible for Rosie to stay on virtual until we go to elections in December?
I believe she would have to be located in Arizona to serve on the BAC. I can look into it a little bit more, but if I'm not mistaken, she would have to be, I think it even in Tucson, actually, to be more specific to serve.
Okay.
But I'll look into it, and I'll let you know. I'll read into it.
Yeah, and I'll keep you guys updated, too, when I'm out. Yes, Lorraine.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So really quick, you all know who I am. I was wondering, for future agenda items, are we still tabling the last couple meetings? I had requested to table the veterans, the property tax exempt that we had initially discussed and, you know, finally had that solidified, I guess, January, and then looks like implementation would be this 2026. Is there any way at all? I know that that's already passed, all the yays and nays and all of that. Is there any way that we can table a conversation, especially with Juan Ciscomani or somebody that is in a position that could hear our voice, and see if we can talk about at least a roundtable how we can get veterans exempt from property tax that are not disabled? Because there's veterans that maybe don't qualify. They might only be 10% or well, none at all, right? But they don't qualify for that. Is there any chance that we could have that at least just to honor them in our community? Because our lives are just passing through, including the veterans. It's not a perpetual. It's not going to be like for the next 500 years or whatever. And we don't even know what time we have. So if that's a possibility for the future agenda, can we please put it on there, even if it's with our local community, and see if we can get enough advocacy so we can move that forward as a conversation?
I would agree with that. I did go through the process as a 90% disabled veteran, and I received an exemption. However, the exemption that I received from Pima County was not what I thought it was going to be. And come to find out that the bill that was addressing veterans exemption comes from the Arizona state legislature. It's not a federal, it's the state legislature that makes that exemption rule. Pima County is citing an entirely different bill that they're using. So that's the first question. Is the county actually even using the correct guidance when it comes to awarding those exemptions? So I think the starting place would be to go to the county assessor's office and begin at that level. And then if there's no satisfaction there, then you would move up to the state legislature. Certainly, Juan Ciscomani might have some say, but I'm afraid the answer is going to be that's not a federal issue.
Yeah.
It's a state and or county issue.
Yeah, but up until last week, they were still in legislative session discussing that exact thing with the exemption. I think it's up to $138,000 if you make under $138,000. So there's stuff still going on right now.
Right, yeah. There's still some work being done on it because, again, They passed one that went into effect the first of the year, but then there was still questions about the wording. And so they went back to the bill and reintroduced it, I think, so that it initially said it was approved, but yet it was recalled.
It was income based, and I think it was if you were married, you had like make like under $37,000, and if you were single, you had to make like under like 20-something thousand.
It wasn't
So, right. Yeah, so, but they're looking at raising those income caps,
and I don't think they've made an official decision. And one of the options could be to vote on it in November. So there's still a bunch of stuff happening at the state legislation, with all that. So.
And it varies by county, right?
I believe it's up to the counties once it's implemented by the state, though.
Lorraine, you had a comment?
Yes, that's great news, because that's what my understanding was. That's what I'm saying. Let's table it, because there should be no monetary value attached to that, because they're talking federal impoverished guidelines, right? Because you can come back with a stub of an arm, and that's it. But you might be a whiz at computer IT and be making $130,000, $140,000. I think we've talked about this before. And yet they're disabled. And I just feel like there's just an injustice for our, or there's always a set of different rules for our veterans for once and for all. I mean, we're like almost the end of 2026. Can we just get a talk, conversations about property tax exempt without having to penalize them with how much money you make or the disability portion? Because there's not that many veterans. I mean, if you look at it collectively, in because all of our old timers, they're getting mature. And a lot of these young people are not signing up. So we need to do something about that. I think this is a serious conversation. I guess you're probably starting to hear my passion in my voice, because my son was very adamant about trying to make a difference. And that's why he'd rather go serve his country, so he could make a difference and really be hands-on versus staying at home in a comfortable, you know, whatever, and just everybody live your own life. But anyways, that's all.
Okay. Tom?
Yes, and on all of that, I actually, as of April 28th, got an exemption. So, and I'm just going to read this verbatim. It says, based on the documentation provided, you have been granted the following exemption under ARS 42-11111. So I would Google that if I were all of you. I don't particularly know the cap number. I do know that my nephew put in for it, and my nephew is a contractor. He's in Iraq right now, and he did not qualify for it, but he lives in Green Valley, so, and that's still Pima County. But from looking at the paperwork that I have received, I think you just, Lorraine, you just need to keep pushing. It's kind of like a claims benefit. You need to keep submitting, and you might get approved, you might not. I'm not 100% sure on that, because I don't work for the assessor's office, but I was granted total and permanent disability, which I am not permanent and totally disabled. I'm at an 80% disabled. And I was granted 100% through the county. So that is something you definitely need to Google or get a hold of your county assessor, which, oh, they don't have a name. Yeah, they don't give a name. It's Arizona Relief Program, so they won't give you a definite to go to email. But I suggest everybody that has any kind of VA disability, regardless if it's 0 to 10%, is still a disability, it's still VA registered. I suggest everybody try to get an exemption of some sort.
Okay. So thank you for that information. Send that at least the number so people can go and research it and everything, the ARS 11-111 or whatever.
Absolutely. I'll give it to Terry. Poor Terry. I will give it to Terry, and she will send it to you all. Terry is my adjutant, man. She does my paperwork, and I love her for it. So don't flaw me on that. But no, I will give it to you for sure, 100%.
Okay.
And actually, from Marlon's advice, I did this. So, I mean, it's out there. So we really, the biggest thing that I know about veterans is we don't ask for help. And so it's our responsibility to get that out there to them. So yes, we need to get that out to people. And yeah, I will definitely get that ARS out to Terry and have her distribute it so we can push it out to the people.
Thank you guys for all your comments and everything. Do we need to vote on that or to put it on the agenda, Amari, Francisco, or can we just add it on?
I think we can just add it on. We've just always just added agenda items as they come up.
Okay.
I'm going to suggest that I can do funeral benefits, discuss funeral benefits for veterans in September.
Okay. All right. Any other future agenda items?
Yeah, Madam Chair, just on the lighter side so that we don't go gloomy into that good night. Yeah. So everything we've heard today, at some point we'll explore how to clone Terry. Yes.
Future agenda item.
Right. I like that one. I like that one. We'll need it. I'll take her out, you know, to Texas with me. And that's actually one of the one of the perks, you know, of moving to the state and everything was the property tax. You know what I mean? It's a big deal for a lot of folks. So that's one of the reasons that we kind of headed out this way, but near family, but to also step in more into a caregiver, role and stuff too. So, all right. Anything else, you guys? All right. So, Bruce, can you lead us out with a benediction, please?
Yes, ma'am. O God, our creator and sustainer, we are gathered here tonight in this committee. May our presence honor all men and women who have worn the nation's uniform, those who returned home, and those for whom the trumpets have sounded on the other side. Bestow upon these comrades present here today your special grace and wisdom as advocates of our nation's finest. And when called upon to perform acts which bear witness to the merits of our association, may we ever dedicate ourselves to this noble end. May this meeting represent a simple gesture for all people who cherish liberty, freedom, and justice. May we look across all that divides America today and still see one nation under God, and indivisible. For where there are two or three of us gathered in your name, we shall be. In your name, we do this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for that, Bruce. Okay, it is 8:08. I think I haven't changed the time on my laptop here. This adjourns our meeting, and September 9th is the next meeting. It will be all virtual, and we'll talk about, I'm guessing at that meeting, the remaining team there. So everyone have a wonderful summer, and thank you guys.
We miss you already. You can't go. I'm going to call you. I'm going to text you.